This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
I'm Melissa Block, and we continue our series on guns in America with an interview with Vice President Joe Biden. He's been leading the Obama administration's efforts on gun control. Our interview coincides with news that the proposed assault weapons ban is being stripped from a broader gun control bill in the Senate. The Democratic Majority Leader, Harry Reid, says it doesn't have the votes to pass. It will be voted on instead as an amendment out of fears it would otherwise scuttle the entire bill. I talked with Vice President Biden earlier today at his residence. Vice President Biden, welcome to the program.
It's a delight to be with you.
Let's start with the assault weapons ban
that
does appear to be dying in the Senate. Is the White House still pushing to have that passed? Do you assume that it's now not going to happen?
I'm still pushing that it pass. We are still pushing that it pass. The same thing was told to me when the first assault weapons ban in 94 was attached to the Biden crime bill, that it couldn't possibly pass. It was declared dead several times. I believe that the vast majority of the American people agree with us, the majority of gun owners agree with us, that military-style assault weapons are, these are weapons of war. They don't belong in the street. In the recent decision declaring the right of someone to own a weapon in their home for self-protection, Justice Scalia acknowledged that you can constitutionally ban certain types of weapons. And so I haven't given up on this.
You're going to push for it. The Majority Leader, Harry Reid, says he doesn't even have 40 votes for the assault weapons ban.
Look, last time we passed it, we only had 7 Republican votes in 1994.
But he doesn't have the Democrats.
Well, again, I've never found it makes any sense to support something and declare there's no possibility of it passing. There's a lot happening. Attitudes are changing. And I think the president and I are going to continue to push, and we haven't given up on it.
If you can't get the assault weapons ban through the Senate, does that represent a failure on the administration's part and on your part as someone who's really spearheaded this effort?
Look, obviously, you and others informed in the media will make that judgment. But my experience, having been the only guy that did this once before, along with Dianne Feinstein and others, is that this doesn't necessarily happen in one fell swoop. There's a determination to get a lot. For example, when the assault weapons ban was part of the so-called Biden crime bill that had 100,000 cops in it, first it was taken out, then we got it back in. We had the background check bill, the Brady bill in it, and that was, we were able to pull it out and get that passed separately and then come back and get the rest of this passed. So I don't see this as there's an automatic endpoint that, okay, there's one vote, this is it, fails, now we move on. We are going to continue to push for logical gun safety regulations. Eventually, the will of the people is going to prevail, and we're going to keep at it.
You said earlier that you think the vast majority of the people agree with your position on this. The latest numbers I saw from the Pew poll show 83% support background checks on private gun sales. But if you look at the assault weapons ban, it's much narrower. It's 56%. That's very slim majority.
That's a pretty good majority. When everybody
not the vast
told
majority,
us, no. But 56% of the people. And other polls show it higher. Other polls show it higher. That's the lowest number I've heard. Even most polls show a majority of NRA members initially came out saying they support it. Now it's closer. But look, there are multiple pieces of the gun safety initiative we're pushing, and we believe that we will get them now or we'll get them all eventually.
If it happens that the only thing that comes through the Senate right now is an expanded background check provision, universal background checks. Is that acceptable?
That'd be gigantic.
Yeah?
That'd be gigantic. Let me put this in perspective. When the Brady bill, the Brady legislation passed back in 94, the NRA and a significant portion of the opposition were absolutely opposed to it. They called it registration. They came up with all these scare tactics about how this was going to be terrible. Guess what? It worked. 2 million, they said felons will never go and get a background check to buy a gun. 2 million felons have tried to buy a gun and because of the background check been denied. And even with that, there is probably a 40% loophole that exists in the law.
You're talking about people who buy guns.
People who buy guns through gun shows and other means that they're not require a background check. Now, at the time, we didn't even, no one anticipated that all of a sudden these gun shows would proliferate and the fact that it didn't include them. We had to compromise to get it done, to get this passed. And the bottom line is that it works. It makes a big difference. And now strengthening the background check, when you explain to people, you have a large number of the American people by most surveys supporting background checks, and they think they're universal already, most of them. Most Americans think there's already universal background checks. They don't understand why there wouldn't be a background check to purchase a weapon.
Do you think it would be any easier to get a ban on large capacity magazines through Congress than it appears to be to get the assault weapons ban through?
Probably. As you know, the original bill in 94 had a separate ban on the size of magazines, and it was in place until 2004. And there's evidence that it actually, it saved lives. It reduced the number of people who were killed. And all you have to, and you don't even have to go back with what it did before. Look now. In Newtown, those 20 beautiful babies and six serious people trying to help them, administrators and teachers, all dead today. The police responded in 2.5 minutes. 2.5 minutes. This guy had 30-round clips in it. He had to use one clip to break through the door, to shoot the locks on the doors. He went into one room and another room, et cetera. They were there in 2.5 minutes. If that had been only 10 rounds, who knows whether one or two or five or seven, those people would be alive today.
Or he could have just reloaded, and he just could have loaded another magazine.
That's not true. That's not true, because he reloaded with 30-round clips, and it's as far as he got. Just do the math. If he had to reload three times as many times, look what happened to Gabby Gifford. That guy had multiple rounds. As he was trying to reload the second time, he fumbled. That's why they knocked his arm. Had they not knocked his arm, he would, and he was overcome. It had been 10 rounds the first time around, and the second time he put another 10 round in, there'd be people alive today.
When you look back at the crime
and by
bill,
the way, if I can add one thing, there's no limitation. It in no way violates anyone's constitutional right. What is the downside of saying you can have clips with only 10 rounds in it? What does that violate? Hunting? Sportsmanship? If you need more than 10 rounds to hunt, and some argue they hunt with that many rounds, you shouldn't be out there hunting. You can't get the deer in three shots. You shouldn't be hunting. You're an embarrassment.
Gun owners will say that all of these lines are arbitrary,
sure,
though.
Arbitrary.
I mean, why 10 rounds? Why not
why
7?
Age
why
16?
Not 12?
Why age 18 to vote? Why? Because society's concluded that the capacity to keep yourself from doing damage and or allowing others to do damage, whether it's behind an automobile, you don't let 9-year-olds drive. Well, that's arbitrary. There's some 9-year-olds that can probably drive better than some 16-year-olds. Putting 10 rounds, limiting it to 10 rounds, makes a difference. Makes a difference in terms of how many shots you can get off before someone can intervene.
If you look at the numbers, the vast majority of gun deaths in the country are not from assault rifles assault weapons. They're from handguns.
So that's exactly right.
Are you really fixing the main problem?
No, you're not fixing the problem, but that's like saying, you know, does it make any sense to ban cigarette smoking while you still have global warming going on? Come on. Does that fix the environmental problem? No. But it saves some people's lives. Do you say the fact that we took lead out of gasoline, does that solve the problem? No, it doesn't. We still have too many emissions going into the air, but it helps. I find that a bizarre argument if it doesn't solve the whole problem. But guess what? The fact is that it does impact. It does, and the people I go to look to when we talk about assault weapons and magazines, talk to the police officers. They're tired of being outgunned. They're tired of being outgunned.
Well, when you say it does save people's lives, there has to be some sort of calculus here, right? There has to be some
That's
point
right.
at which you say, is the number of lives that we save, does that outweigh the burden, the restrictions that we put on millions of Americans. So how do you
draw that conclusion? Tell me what the burden is that you have to buy three clips with 10 rounds versus one clip with 30. The cost is the same. What's the burden? What am I doing to infringe upon your constitutional right? I find that, I mean, what burden? I can name, you could think of 1,000 burdens we put on people that in fact are de minimis, that impact positively on society. And we say, I mean, it's one thing if you can tell me that the burden is onerous. First of all, the vast majority of gun owners aren't running around with clips that hold 30 rounds. We're talking about, and there's no good data. Here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is when the authorization had to be renewed for much of this in 2004, restrictions were placed on the ability of the government even to keep data.
Why not? What's the problem with having a gun registry, a national mandatory gun registry? We license our cars. Why shouldn't we have to license and register our guns?
Because there is a, this where you start to cross a cultural line. The idea that you register your guns. It makes, it may make logical sense to say this make this, but there isn't a constitutional right to own an automobile. There is a Second Amendment constitutional right to own a weapon, the right to have and bear arms. When you go to registration, it raises all the black helicopter crowd notion that what this is all about is identifying who has a gun so that one day the government can get up and go to the house and arrest everyone who has a gun and they'll cite Nazi Germany and a lot. You don't need to register guns to have logical gun safety laws. There is a healthy gun culture in this country with regard to hunters. They husband their guns and their weapons. They lock them up. They use them responsibly. They pass them down to their children like my dad. This is about keeping guns out of the hands of people who constitutionally the government is able to prohibit from owning those guns.
Mr. Vice President, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That's Vice President Joe Biden speaking with me at his residence here in Washington. Tomorrow on the program, we continue our series on guns in America. I'll try my hand at a shooting range, and we'll have a conversation between a group of people who own and love guns and some who don't. That's coming up tomorrow on All Things Considered.